Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:23. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. We've been talking about the hostage deal as well as a ceasefire. Where are we with that? Can there actually be a deal? Anthony Reich earlier being still very, very skeptical around it, although the talk, the reporting seems to definitely indicate more positivity or more hope than we have seen for some time. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch, he is from the Jerusalem Center for Security Foreign Affairs, former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria, joins us this morning. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Good. So the query, I mean, we're definitely seeing a lot more positivity in terms of the reporting. But, you know, we've seen this movie before, unfortunately. How hopeful do you think we should be?
So I think the question is, to what extent Hamas is happy with just accepting Israel's surrender without necessarily bringing us down to our knees? It's a hard statement to say, but the deal, as it's been at least presented so far, means that Israel will be releasing hundreds of murderers, thousands of prisoners, hundreds of murderers, will be allowing Hamas to renew its command structure that has been decimated so far during the war. And not only that, we've apparently also agreed to the movement of some of the Gazans back to the north of Gaza, which really practically means that Israel has finished the fighting, because the fighting in the north of Gaza has been so intense, everything is destroyed, because there aren't so many civilians around. And so we've been able to really do the job more thoroughly. Once we allow tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of Gazans to return to the north, then we are practically saying we've finished the fighting. So the question is that going to be sufficient for Hamas to end the fighting, release hundreds and thousands of prisoners, including mass murderers, and in return only, and I say only, give us 33 hostages or 42 hostages, depending on which version you read, out of the 98. That means that they continue to hold all of the leverage, and we've given up on probably 80 to 90% of our strong position in return for not very much, really.
Do we even know if Hamas is part of this negotiation?
Well, see, we know that Hamas has its ability to contact the outside world from within Gaza, I mean, and to have a discussion with its leadership wherever they may be, whether they be in Turkey, whether they be in Doha, whether they be in Egypt. So that ability does exist. The question is, when you ask yourself, well, who is Hamas? Who's really running the show? And there we have, unfortunately, our transgressions of the past. We have ex-Hamas terrorists, imprisoned terrorists who have been released during the Shalit deal, who are now taking a really very central role in running all of the negotiations. They took a central role in the massacre as well. And now, as part of the deal that's being discussed, we're also going to see many of the people that, if you remember, in 2011, we freed 1,027 terrorists in return for Gilad Shalit. The deal was that they had to remain away from terrorism. In 2014, they kidnapped the three teens in Gush Etzion. I, at the time, was the head of the prosecution for Judea and Samaria, and we initiated the rearrest of scores of those terrorists. And now, as part of this deal, it appears that those terrorists will also be released. Really, we're giving up on really quite a substantial amount.
So, I'm not really reading between the lines in what you're saying. You are very uncomfortable with this deal.
Any deal, Howard, I believe, any deal that does not guarantee the immediate return of all of the hostages in one go means that we will continue to be blackmailed and extorted by this terrorist organization for all eternity. If we do not get a final release of all of the hostages and immediately, then we're condemning ourselves to this ever continuing cycle of violence and extortion. This is, and at the same time, reinforcing Hamas. So I really, as much as I value the life of
course,
every one of and, the people
and,
that come back.
And not agreeing with the deal doesn't mean that you are against the release of the hostages and don't value that. I think that's absolutely clear. It's really about whether... It's interesting. When I was in Israel actually last year this time, I chatted with Rabbi Doron Peret, and at that stage he didn't know, unfortunately, that his son had been murdered. And I asked him the question, based on this conversation that we're having right now, the Gilad Shalit situation, is there a price too high? And it was a very difficult question, obviously, for him to answer as a parent, because as a parent, you will do anything to get the release of your child. But he also understood that maybe there is a price too high. And that's really what I'm hearing in how you're describing this. Is this a price too high in terms of the safety of Israel? Does that make sense?
Well, so that's exactly the question, Howard. But part of that discussion as well is: are there any alternatives? Mm. Is this a binary game? Either we release terrorists and surrender, or we get no hostages. I would argue that it's not a binary question. There are other means of leverage that we can use. We, for example, have allowed millions of tons of humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip without taking that basic requirement of making sure that we are the ones who give out the aid. So Hamas has been giving out the aid for the last 15 months. Mm. That's helped them maintain their position as the feeders of the population and has entirely weakened our ability to quash Hamas. So here's like an idea. Instead of discussing and being dragged into this discussion of release prisoners, release hostages in return for mass murderers, let's change the equation. Let's talk about who's giving out the humanitarian aid in the Gaza Strip. And not saying stop the humanitarian aid, I'm just saying stop the process of allowing Hamas to give out that aid. Take control. That would allow us to really create a whole different environment within the Gaza Strip and be able to develop that those alternative solutions to this lose-lose situation that we're in. But for the last 15 months, we keep on playing the same game over and over and over again. I think it was Einstein who described it as insanity. You keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again in the same circumstances, and you're expecting a different result. That's just not going to work. So change the equation. That's what we need to do.
That is where we leave it, and I'd love your thoughts on that on 061-895-1019. That's Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security Foreign Affairs, former Director of the Military Prosecution for Judea and Samaria.